Now, ladies and gentlemen, here's one you all can sing with us when the saints go marching in. Out there swinging with us. On behalf of Jewel Brown, Billy Kyle, Joe Daringsburg, Drummer Young, Billy Crook, Danny Barcelona, little Filipina boy on the drums, little Arabian boy Satchmo. We are very happy to have swung this number for you folks. It's cutting out time now. Before we cut out from here, let's take them saints on down one more time. Now I win the saints. Oh, boy. When the saints go marching, yes, I found.
To the world here. you remember the moment that you saw yourself in God and God in you, and you were one with the universe and God and everybody?
Knowing the truth about the gospel.
You were one with the prostitutes and pimps and priests and kings, and there was nobody on earth that was better than you nor less than you.
That we are all righteous.
And no one on earth was any less in Christ than anyone else.
That's Mike Williams, and this is the Gospel Revolution. And now, here's Glenn Klein online.
So many thanks, Robert Moore, and greetings, you beautiful humans. This is Glenn Klein Online. It's hump day, Wednesday, April 4, 2012, the only last webcast of the Spring Pledge Drive 2/12 in the history of humanity.
About getting religion, giving it back.
No. My friend Jesus was supposed to be it. No, it's not. No, it's not. It is not it. Play it. My friend Jesus is by the other guy. It was such a tight start, too. No, Sean said he can edit it, but we're not going to edit it. What we're going to do, what is that guy's name? It's My Friend Jesus by, it's there.
By Mike Williams?
It could be by Mike Williams. welcome in, ladies and gentlemen. We are not going to edit this. When Sean finds the correct song, we will play it. But, God, I can't think of the guy's name right now. Who sang that? It's such a good song. But welcome in on this quality professional radio program called The Gospel Revolution on this particular Wednesday night. You heard his voice. Let us go directly to the home offices of said revolution, to the Grand Poobah, the president and founder of The Gospel Revolution. We're trying so hard, Michael. Please welcome online the teacup poodle of The Gospel Revolution, Mr. Michael Williams. Michael.
I tell you, what a moment befitting of my newsletter that we are always trying to present the gospel with its deserved excellence.
I know.
We don't always measure up to
right,
that.
That's exactly.
So we just wanted to prove to you right at the front here, we don't always measure up to that. But these things we can live with.
These things are the things that you think are the will of God.
These things.
We'll get to that commercial later.
What you're all upset about.
What you're all upset about. We are not upset about that screw up, ladies and gentlemen. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing really well. It's been a good day. There's been good resolve on several fronts. A day can turn one way or the other. And today has turned to favorable on two or three fronts, so it's a very nice thing.
And I'm happy to report on this particular Wednesday night that Armageddon has not taken place yet, and even though, Michael, there are Christians around the world that think that the rapture could happen at any second, that as I was privileged to read and edit in your book, One, The Gospel According to Mike, the rapture, even though that term's not in the Bible, but the taking away, the catching away. Thank you, the King James there. The catching away already happened.
Boy, it did, and what a dynamic way that had, even at fall, the away took place. Also, the fall happened to the entire human race with the invoke of the law. And it was imputed to, sin was imputed. Not only was righteousness imputed, but a transition of God and man being united together as one took a lightning speed leap, and all the human race was raised up in the twinkling of an eye, in a moment, and at the speed of light. And we were raised in a great rapture that took place when Jesus rose from the dead. He took us all in his body into the presence of God with his blood, carrying his blood with him, and presented us in the presence of his own blood and presented us as holy and perfect. A great rapture took place. I occasionally experienced that rapture in heart, of that realization of that oneness with God, the reality that death no longer has any power. We are loosed from it. We are loosed from any alienation or separation from God. And there will never be a descent into sin on this planet ever again. This planet, as it has for 2,000 years, stands poised to do great things, far beyond anything we've ever dreamed. There, we have had a lot of great things happen in the last couple hundred years, but they are infinitesimal compared to what I believe, what I really think, that the power of the gospel released in the minds of the human race has the ability to do, because the progress we've seen on every levels, medical and whatever you want to see, scientific, that has benefited the human race, is just so small compared to when the mind is truly liberated from guilt and judgment. And when those powers are released, there is a rapture that takes place in the individual. Rapture took place for all 2,000 years ago. And I'm telling you, you can experience the rapture today. All you got to do is get on the phone, get in a conversation with somebody, start talking about the gospel, and before you know it, you'll have to peel yourself off the ceiling. It's a very powerful thing, and it is the great catching away is very real. What the church taught as the rapture is just not even there. And when you take the terms that are translated as rapture for the Christian community and read them in their context, you know this is a done deal.
Did you ever see the HBO show 6 Feet Under?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, it's about, if you guys haven't seen it, you can just Google it up or YouTube it up. It's about a family that owns a funeral home in California. Uh-huh. And it always starts out with somebody dying. And in one episode, do you remember this episode?
I don't know.
Okay. In this one episode, it started with some Christian woman driving down a freeway in California, listening to Christian radio or Christian tapes. And
I didn't see this.
And if she was driving, you'll love this, dude. You are going to love this, as will you beautiful humans all over the planet. She's driving behind, as it turns out, a guy who's got inflatable human dolls, if you will, behind her. And he's got them strapped in, and he hits a bump, and the strap comes off, and all the inflatable dolls start floating up. And she sees us in front of her, and she thinks it's the rapture. And, of course, she gets out of her car waiting for herself to be raptured up and immediately gets donked by another car. And that's how 6 Feet Under started in that particular episode, with the story of the woman who was killed during the rapture.
I just hate it when that happens.
I hate it when it happens. But you know what? We've talked about this on so many levels. Christian doctrine, Christian thought, the gospel, people that are open-minded and have open ears, they pick up on this stuff, and it shows up in the most crazy places.
It could show up on a freeway in California with a bunch of inflatable dolls. Your doctrine could be your demise. Now, we don't want your doctrine to be your demise. We want your understanding of the gospel to be life to you, and allow the gospel to release the guilt and judgment, which the only thing the gospel does, I'm telling you, I don't think any of us, and I include myself in this number, I don't think we realize the devastating power of guilt and judgment. And this has been on my mind for several days. It's been on my mind for several years, but it's been really intensifying here lately. And we've talked about it several times. But I think that it deserves more attention. We've got to realize that all things that pertain to life and godliness are in us. That includes your very joy. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy.
In the Holy Ghost.
Everybody's
in the Holy Ghost.
Yes, in the Holy Ghost. everybody's trying to teach you how to have joy. I don't think you need to know how to have joy. I don't think you need to know how to obtain righteousness. I don't think you need to know how to obtain holiness. I don't think you need to learn how to obtain peace with God. These are things that have been gifted to us by the blood of Jesus. Now, the gospel that came out of the work of the cross is there to release the stopper, if you will, off of this incredible reality. The only thing you have to do is let the kingdom of God and the work of the cross be. You don't have to try to pursue it. I never will forget the first time I stood up and I was pastoring church in 1982.
We like to say 1982.
Yeah, that is your want, isn't it?
I use the royal we there.
Yes, you put us all in your pocket, didn't you? So when
you see how you see how mature I am, I just let that comment go without comment.
This was a test, and only a test.
Of the emergency broadcasting system, this is only a test.
Sure. So I was up teaching, and I was reading. I got up, and I remember starting the service, and, you know, we had a little over 200 people there, and I started the service, and I read, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." I read that verse as an opening comment, and I said, I would like to declare to you that I no longer seek the kingdom of God. And paralysis hit the congregation.
like a Holy Ghost trance situation?
It was a Holy Ghost trance. It was amazing. I mean, they sat spellbound. They loved me, and they wanted to know, you know, has our pastor lost it? What's he trying to do? We're not sure. You know that we're not sure look, you know. And so I followed it up and told them it's the kingdom of God. I went through, put the context to that and other places about the kingdom of God. And I told them we've been translated into the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is something that we used to have to seek for. And now the kingdom of God has been given to us. This was in 1982.
You know, go ahead.
And the power of that understanding, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. So we've got the kingdom of God. Whatever has been added as the kingdom of God brings us everything that is intended for our lives. The gospel releases the negative parts of this existence as human beings to release the kingdom of God within. You will never experience the kingdom of God in the presence of guilt. You'll never experience the kingdom of God in the presence of judgment. It doesn't make any difference which way you look at it. There is no kingdom of God and guilt. There is no kingdom of God and judgment. So let the gospel remove this dastardly duo, as I've said in my newsletter, to remove this from our minds. And your heart is absolutely perfect. Your heart is perfect. Your heart has everything that God... It used to be a hard, stony heart. And God took that out of every human being and placed in the entire human race the heart that needed to be there. The power of the gospel is not measured in the life by what it adds to your life, but it can be measured in what it takes away from your life. And Paul assured us that in the gospel there are two things. In the book of Romans, he assures us there's two things that will become absent in the presence of the gospel, and that is guilt and judgment.
You know, you said that the kingdom of God does not have to be sought after. The question that arises in my mind is, how much can the kingdom of God be sought after?
Zero. There's nothing to seek.
Why is that?
You already got it. It's, and as I said, it's like seeking after holiness. It's like trying to find righteousness. These are not things you can pursue. These are not the pursuits of life for us. And these are this is the release of life, not the pursuit of life. If we could ever get an understanding that all we need is within, and the only two ingredients that are keeping us from experiencing that is guilt and judgment, it would be a gospel revolution for every individual who embraces that to its entirety. I spoke with a woman today on the phone that called me from West Virginia. What a delightful phone call. She's been listening. Her name is not familiar to the gospel revolution, and I can't even call it. I've asked her two times. I'm really bad about stuff like this. I need to write things down when I hear somebody's name.
You are almost 60 years old, my friend.
Yes, I am almost 60 years old. Been 62 years and almost 60 at the same time.
Exactly.
But I remember saying, oh, that's a German name, isn't it? So that's the only thing I can tell you about it. It was a two-part, very German name.
Well, we will call her Fräulein for this for the purpose of this.
That would be fine.
Example.
And she had two children, and absolutely. She's been listening to the webcast though. And folks, I want you to get that really close. There are people that we don't know that are listening. That this is literally saving their life. And this woman was expressing to me that what we were doing had saved her life. And she really was very serious about that without going into detail about any of what she was saying. But the issue was feeling just horrible guilt, and not about anything she had done. It was about things she had thought and the possibility of the thought in relationship to God. And it is such a privilege to share with somebody who wants to hear. And you're even on the other end of the phone, and you can feel this bird is about to fly. The cage is open. They're wondering whether or not this could possibly be true, and they are just ready to launch and to be able to experience that with somebody over the phone, and to hear the tears of absolute release of joy, and to be able. I'm telling you, it's so incredible to give somebody absolute assurance. No question, no if, no and, no but, no maybe. You have not offended God. I was able to do that today.
Why were you able to do that?
Because of the gospel. Because it's the truth. There is no way to offend God. We even talked about being able to offend the gospel. I said, walk in an offense to the gospel, which is absolutely opposite to what Christians call offending God. Even if you do that, it's not held against you. There's no account. There's no register against you. There's nothing. I explained to her a situation I went through sometime in the past about where that something was filed, and it was at the courthouse, and it was a judgment against me. And how I had to go through the process to get the judgment released and blah, blah, blah. And I said, but you see, in the kingdom of God, there's no courthouse. There's no law to implement a judgment against you. Now, I had to go through all of this and get the release of the judgment, satisfy the judgment. I had to go through all of that. But in the kingdom of God, there's no place where the record is kept. There's no paper to write the record down on. There's no pencil to write it with. There's no computer to record it on. There is no body to receive the complaint. Jesus is the only mediator between God and man. If you believe that, that would be very good. If you know what Jesus said about his mediation, Jesus said, I'm the only mediator. I am the only voice between God and man. I'm the only thing God hears about the human race. And I promise you, Moses brought accusation against you. He said, I will never accuse you to the Father.
How interesting. And ironic that one of the titles of the Mashiach, the Anointed One, the Messiah in the Scriptures, is the Great Counselor. We had an attorney, didn't we?
We did. We needed one.
Right. But in this case, beautiful humans, our attorney took the punishment for our crime.
Yes.
And Michael, what was that crime?
Well, the crime really was what one man did 2,000 years ago. It was not your breaking of the law. The law was added to show the transgression, and it was not anything you did.
Was the law broke 2,000 years ago, or was the law fulfilled and paid for 2,000 years ago?
Yes, the law was completely fulfilled, along with all prophecy. Jesus said, not one jot or tittle shall pass from the law. He said, I didn't come to destroy the law or the prophets. That connotes really the issue of fragmenting. So Jesus was telling us, I didn't come to fragment or juggle around the law, to pull the law or the psalm or the law or the prophets apart. He used both, not just law, but he used prophets. This is one of the quotes that people used to use against me when I would teach about being freed from the law. They'd say, Jesus said, I didn't come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. And I would have to point out, yes, Jesus didn't say only that. Jesus said he didn't come to destroy the law or the prophets, but to fulfill them. So when you take this dual comparison between law and prophets, you're talking about fulfilling something. It puts this issue of the law in a whole different light of what it means not to destroy something, but to fulfill it. He said the law and the prophets. So when Jesus said that not one jot or tittle shall pass from the law until all is fulfilled, well, the two subjects he's talking about is law and prophets. Not one single law will change until everything that was prophesied, that all of the scriptures prophesied. In fact, all of the scripture is fulfilled. In fact, part of the scripture is the law. The totality of fulfillment at the cross is so all-encompassing. It encompasses everything in relationship to God and man. It encompasses the last trump. It encompasses the last vial. It encompasses every law. It encompasses every rule, every regulation. It encompasses the priesthood. It encompasses the sacrifice. It encompasses the Holy of Holies. It encompasses the Feast of Tabernacles. It encompasses every feast and every functions. It totally encompasses the Sabbath. It totally encompasses the rest that God has given unto us. It fulfills every call for judgment against sin on the planet, all focused into the body of one man. And this powerful event has not left anything to the future, and neither has it left anything to man's determination. This was something done between God and God, as Paul eloquently described, that it was made. This covenant was made between two unmovable forces, in the which it is impossible for God singularly to lie. It is God. This covenant was made by two unmovable forces, in which singularly God is. It's impossible for God to lie. So both forces were God, and both forces indeed were God, because this covenant was between God the Father and God the Son.
You are describing, of course, the new covenant that was created and determined by two unmovable forces. But the question started with the initial crime. And you started talking about the fact that the initial crime was committed by one man. Now, yes. You went into great detail just there, describing the sacrifice and the atonement by one man. But the condition of sin, who can we lay the blame of the condition of sin on, and is it one man?
Well, it's just one man. It's Paul makes that very clear, and the law makes that very clear, that it is the condition of one man, and God had mercy on the human race and imputed that sin to the entire human race. Which, if you look at it closely, I think that everyone comes to the conclusion, the sin of unbelief, is the very thing that Jesus died for. So in this unbelief, this not accepting what God has said, that's unbelief. And that was Adam's problem in falling to this temptation, was not believing what God, because he was trying to obtain what he already had. We've been talking about this all evening, actually, already. The attempt to obtain something you already have. How can the gospel give you something you don't have when sin itself started as an attempt to gain something you don't have? That can't be the gospel. The gospel would be enhancing sin. And the gospel does not enhance sin. Gospel lets us know the sin we have been released from. And the sin we've been released from universally is the sin of unbelief. So even the requirement to believe has been fulfilled. All the law was taken away. We deal with just one man. That's all we're dealing with. And the reality of one man in one man's sin and one man's transgression and one man's obedience is the most powerful thing this planet will ever see.
That's a good equation, ladies and gentlemen. The number one, O-N-E. And also a fine name for an upcoming book that will be published by Geneva Publishing. One, The Gospel According to Mike, the Christianity-free gospel. And cannot recommend it more enough to you. This is Glenn Klein Online. It is Gospel Revolution Wednesday night. It is the last webcast of the start of Spring Pledge Drive 2012. Of course, we have not mentioned in the first almost one half hour of this program anything about the pledge drive nor money. And that pretty much is our want. And as you guys that have paid attention to the webcast long enough know that Mike has driven me crazy over the years with many times going across the globe speaking and never even taking an offering. We're taking an offering tonight, and we'll be talking about that as the program progresses. But please, at this moment, let us welcome online our special guest, another author. You've heard him before. We know him. We love him. We can't live without him. Please welcome online the author of Dropping Hell and Embracing Grace from the beautiful city of Des Moines, Iowa. Please welcome on Ivan A. Rogers. Ivan.
Hello, Glenn. Hello, Mike.
Hi, Ivan. It's so good to hear your voice again.
Thank you.
All right, so Ivan, you have been listening to this sermon by Michael Williams on the gospel over the last 15 minutes or so. How saved are you?
I say amen.
I know
and
you
amen.
Do. I know you do. You guys, you got to pick up a copy of Ivan's book, Dropping Hell and Embracing Grace. Embracing Grace, and it is available, ladies and gentlemen, for anybody that in the last week of this start of Spring Pledge Drive 2012 will make any kind of pledge at all in any dollar amount for a 12-month, what do we call those things, Michael? Pledge. Any monthly pledge at all, any dollar amount you will receive. We're going to go into this in detail maybe later. The whole show has been screwed up so far, except for the message of the gospel. But we'll go into detail about how you guys can get a copy of Ivan's book by donating to the start of Spring Pledge Drive. Or you can just go to Amazon.com or go to Ivan's website. And, of course, Ivan, you are the founder and president of the Good Report Ministries. And what we have for folks around the planet tonight is a good report.
Amen. And I'm all for that.
You know, I got to.
That's what the word gospel means. Good report.
Right, and it's a funny thing. You know, Michael says it this way, that there's no bad news in the good news or the good report. There's so many Christian ministers that have a bad report.
Yes, that's true. Unfortunately.
Well, one of the things that I need to thank you personally for is including Michael in this list of notables that have promoted and have believed in the redemption of all, including people like, ladies and gentlemen, Abraham Lincoln, Sir Isaac Newton, Immanuel Kant, George Washington, Benjamin Franklin, Benjamin Rush, and Clara Barton, and Mike Williams. There have been people, Ivan, since day one, including Paul the Apostle, that have actually believed that the work of Christ at the cross was good enough for the condition of sin for the entire human race.
This is true, and unfortunately, it is possible to read the scriptures and miss that whole point. And if you miss out on that, you're missing the best part.
What is that like? That's like, what is that like? I don't know what that's like, but that is very true. All right, so we just got this email, Ivan, from Danny Miniskanians from Studio City, California. And he says, based on the last webcast with Ivan Rogers, he sounds like he believes in the reconciliation of all. Please grill him on it if you can. LOL. All right, so I'm grilling on you on this, Ivan. Do you believe in the reconciliation of all?
Yes, I do, in fact. I believe that the atonement of Jesus Christ was good, not just for certain individuals, but for all people. And there are many, many scriptures that attest to that. And our best source, of course, would be the Word of God.
You know, one of the things, Michael, that Ivan and I have shared is our love for the State of Israel. And Ivan, you and I have been to Gehenna. We've been to hell. Would you please?
Yeah,
would you, and one of the beautiful things, in the book, Dropping Hell and Embracing Grace, is your great delineation of where the origination of the concept of the modern understanding of hell comes from. But you and I have been to hell, haven't we?
I have actually walked in hell, visiting Jerusalem. I happened to be standing on a high precipice overlooking the city of Jerusalem from the wall of Jerusalem. And as you know, Israel is rather semi-arid. And I saw in the distance very clearly a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful grassy area. Just green grass, looked like a park, and so I asked
It's right outside the old city walls.
Yes, it is. So I asked the guide, I said, what is that? He said, don't you know what that is? He said, that is Gehenna, the site of the traditional hell. And he said, we Israelis have been working on that site, and we've cleaned it up and made it more presentable, and we have actually turned it into parkland. And I could see from my vantage point, I could see a family with a blanket spread out on the ground having a picnic, and their two children were playing soccer nearby. Right on the very site of the traditional hell, as mentioned in Scripture. By the way,
the word hell
is an improper translation of Scripture. There is no such place, no such word as hell. That is an Anglo-Saxon word. Goes back to medieval times, and it comes from the word H-E-L-L-E, helle, and it actually meant back in those days a cold, dark place. And it is the word that we get the word cell from. As in cellar. And of course, some of your listeners may be old enough to remember when we used to have cellars before we had refrigeration. And our parents and grandparents would store food, fruit, and canned vegetables.
And in the
cellar.
And things that were...
It was cool down there.
Right, and things that were illegal during Prohibition in the United States.
Oh, yeah, but we won't talk about those.
Okay. All right, so...
But anyway, the idea was that the word hell comes from that old English word, heli, and it was originally a cold place, a cool place, where you could store food and preserve it. But somebody has turned up the thermostat from cold to hot, and in our scriptures today, it's a mistranslation.
It's more than a mistranslation, Michael. It was taken by religious leaders throughout the ages till this day, and they would not say that a family is playing soccer on hell, would they?
No, and Ivan, I just have to tell you how delightful for to hear a gentleman who's been in the ministry the years that you've had with the experience and to speak so plainly and very eloquently about hell in its proper terminology. I'm sorry I got tickled while you were talking about it, though. The thought of explaining to the Christian community that hell has been cleaned up and made much more presentable.
Yeah.
if we could just convince them of that, that would be great. And
right.
Go ahead.
If people could see the site of the old hell, they would be so impressed because it's just beautiful now. The Israelis have done a wonderful job.
Well, there's something you'll never read in Scripture. The Israelis have done a wonderful job. You know,
in cleaning up hell.
You guys,
the
Israelis, ladies and gentlemen, have done a wonderful job in cleaning up hell. Ivan, vaunted men of God like, the Pope, the senior rabbi of the State of Israel, Billy Graham, Jimmy Swaggart, Benny Hinn, the guy that I can't think of his name right now that heads up God TV. All those guys have seen exactly what you and I have seen. What's up with that?
Well, I don't know. I think that more and more students of the Word are coming to question this whole hell issue. And I see it all the time. I hear it from thinking people, from theologians, and from lay people. People are taking another look at this hell thing, and they're finding it just doesn't fit the God of love. How can one believe that the God who loves all of us would consign most of humanity, because that's what a lot of people believe who accept the hell doctrine.
Right. The good evangelical statistics, or the statisticians would say, only 10% of people come into a redemptive or saving knowledge of Christ. So they would say that 90% of humanity that is living now, that has ever lived, or will live in the future until the aforementioned rapture, will not have accepted Christ and therefore will be punished and cast into, the soccer field, if you will.
Just think what that means. It is calculated that since Adam in the Garden of Eden, a total of 107 billion people have lived on planet Earth right up until the present moment. Now, if only 10% of humanity is to be saved, 90% to be consigned to hell, that would approximate about 96 billion people who will be eternally lost and tortured in hell. Now, if that is true, it seems to me that Satan would be the greatest soul winner of all times.
Right. Yeah, I'm a big sports fan, as you beautiful humans know. And even I know that a 107 billion to 9 billion is a big loss. I mean, that's not good. But and I just proved again, ladies and gentlemen, that I'm a very bad mathematician. Wait. There's 107 billion since Adam. And if you take 10% of that, right? Is that what you said, 107
billion?
That
leaves billion? About 96 billion to be lost.
96 billion to be lost and about 9 billion to be... No? Yeah.
About 12.
12 billion to be gained. All right, so 109 to 12, that's not... That. In fact, you could call that a blowout. I think my sports broadcaster colleagues would call that a blowout, Ivan, in favor of Satan.
Any way you calculate it, it doesn't compute. And it doesn't comport with a God of love.
All right, what did I hear in the background there? What was that? Is that like a grandfather clock that I heard?
Yes, you did.
Oh, my God. My grandfather had a great grandfather clock. I just went back there. Mikey, how beautiful, we heard chimes, but what kind of beautiful music is this to your ears?
Well, I that's the reason I'm sitting here listening, is that to hear anyone who has ever spent any time in evangelical Christianity and comes to the conclusion that Jesus, the work of the cross, was sufficient and more than sufficient to do the job that was prophesied to be done, is you just don't know the comfort. I mean, the comfort that I take in just listening. It is such a powerful thing. I've experienced it so few times in my journey. I turned 60. Ivan's a couple of years older than me. And,
he's a couple of years younger than you, actually.
There you go. Yeah.
Because Ivan, you're like 82 years young, right?
That is correct.
And Michael's 60 years wonderful. Young, and I'm 52 years young. And Michael, by the way, Ivan, has been on Benny Hinn's programs and Jimmy Swaggart's network and Pat Robertson's network and TBN and Marilyn Hickey and all those people who have been to hell and back, so to speak. And
I've not been with Jimmy Swaggart's TV thing, so don't say something I've got to justify.
You don't have to justify that. Well, you would have been, but for the folks that have not heard it, Michael, when Benny Hinn back in the early '80s, which you referenced before earlier in the program, heard you teach on the grace of God, in Benny Hinn lingo, what did he say to the people?
If any of you have lived within 100 miles of where this young man is speaking, you must go.
Yeah, but there was more of an explanation to it than that. Why must you go if this young man, if you're within 100 miles of this young man speaking, why must you go?
He said, in 15 minutes, I heard more understanding about soul and spirit than I've heard in my entire life.
So, Ivan, at 82 years young, you are now out of your third retirement. Yeah, you're out of your third retirement, and you are actually pastoring a church there in Iowa. And as you present the gospel to your parishioners, what is their response?
Well, I just preach the gospel, and they love it.
Love it.
Actually, let me just tell you how I happened to come out of retirement the third time.
Please do.
Every time I retire, they come and get me.
Uh-huh.
And I happened to attend a funeral of a pastor friend of mine. And he had been pastor of a little country church for 18 years and suddenly passed away. At the memorial service, some of the board members of this church recognized me, and they began to converse with me. They were quite concerned that they wouldn't be able to find another pastor for such a small country church.
Right.
And so I felt badly for them. My wife plays the piano and the organ.
Elsie.
And so I volunteered.
No, you got to say my wife, Elsie.
Wife, Elsie.
Yeah, you got to give her proper credit. Go ahead.
I do. And but I said, how about if Elsie and I come out? She'll play the piano and organ for you. They hadn't had a pianist, by the way, for 14 years. And I said, we'll come out. She'll play the piano for you. And I will do the preaching until you find your pastor. And they were happy with that. Well, guess what?
What?
We were only there 2 weeks, and they quit looking.
And you know why they quit looking? Because Elsie is such a great pianist and organ player.
That's what I told her. I said, it's not my preaching they like so much as your music.
And how long have you been married?
We've been married 60 years.
And thus, ladies and gentlemen, is the key to a successful marriage right there. You give the woman the credit.
Not so you were married
indeed.
The year I was born.
Okay. Glenn,
Ivan,
and Mike,
Ivan,
you had an email, and the gentleman asked a question about universal salvation.
No. He didn't have a question. He told me to hold your feet to the fire. That's what he said.
On the subject of all people being saved.
Yes.
Yes. Well, let me just read a few scriptures, because that's where I draw my inspiration.
You know, that is...
won't take long.
First of all, we just love hearing your voice. Second of all, you'll be happy to know that you are being heard right now at the very first Gospel Revolution School of the Scriptures in Kenya, Africa. Where the president of the Gospel Revolution School of the Scriptures, Moses Gachau Nagata, is gathered around some computer somewhere in Kenya listening to you. So please continue.
Well, I send my special greetings to all the brothers and sisters in Kenya. And now the question is, did the atonement of Christ cover only some people or all people? Well, let me read just a few scriptures. Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. And then we find in Colossians 3:11, here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. And then in 1 Peter 3:18, for Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. Just a couple more scriptures, and I'll be through with this.
Oh, preach it, brother. Preach it.
Go right ahead.
Here is one that I'd like to read. Jesus said in John 12:32, but I, when I am lifted up from the earth,
right.
will draw all men to myself. Not some, but all. And then in Romans 11:32, for God has bound all men over to disobedience so that he may have mercy on them all. Not mercy on some, but mercy on all. And finally, Romans 6:10, the death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives for God. And I could go on and on and on. And may I just say this, I was a pastor and a preacher for 60 years. And I preached every one of those scriptures and read them constantly, and I did not see the word all in there at all. And yet, the scriptures are full of inclusion, not of just a few people of humanity, but of all humanity. Jesus is the Savior of all.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you, Ivan.
Ivan, thank you.
You're very welcome.
Yeah, thanks for preaching the gospel at that church in Iowa, and thanks you for preaching the gospel tonight all over the world. We really appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Ivan.
For inviting me. I've enjoyed it very much.
And
God bless your ministry on that end.
Well, you have, because you donated books, Dropping Hell and Embracing Grace. Will you come back, please?
I would be glad to.
All right, Ivan. Give a squeeze to Elsie, please, your bride.
Thank you, Ivan.
I sure will.
This is Glenn Klein Online. That's Ivan Rogers. You can get that book just by donating to the Gospel Revolution. We'll get into all that and much more as we return right here on the Gospel Revolution Radio Network.
What do you want to do? What's your heart say? How many people have wound up married because it was supposed to be the will of God? These are the things that you're all upset about. What would you like to accomplish, regardless of what age you are? Do you know how many people's lives have been paralyzed by sitting back waiting to figure out what the will of God was for their lives? I hate that doctrine. I absolutely detest it. I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul.
That was just a sample of what Mike Williams said when he spoke at the 3rd Annual Gospel Revolution Convention in Calgary. Mike taught the book of Romans verse by verse from beginning to end, and you will never hear Paul's letter to the Romans taught like this. Connie Nelson told me after attending the convention that it changed her life and she will never see the Bible the same way again. Victor Brennan called it groundbreaking stuff, and David Dwyer of Brisbane, Australia said it felt like he had just been through a 10-hour detox program. This 11-hour series entitled The Book of Romans Revealed is available on audio CDs for $88 plus shipping and handling, or you can download it right now for just $44 at gospelrevolution.com. You have to hear it if you're going to believe it.
She's a good girl, loves her mom, loves Jesus in America too. She's a good girl, is crazy about Elvis, loves horses and her boyfriend too. And it's a long day, living in Reseda, there's a free I'm a bad boy, 'cause I don't even miss her. I'm a bad boy for breaking her heart.
Just got an email from the administrator of the Gospel Revolution and the Secretary of Defense, Jeff Robertson. He says Ivan Rogers is priceless, which, of course, we can agree with. But actually, Ivan Rogers was paid with a price, wasn't he, Michael?
Absolutely. And what you hear coming out of him is his gratefulness and understanding of that price that was paid. This is the conflict in Christianity, is they rejoice before someone they call a failure. They rejoice before someone that they call inept. They rejoice before someone that they declare a loser. They rejoice before someone who stands back with disinterest as people are being cast into hell. And that's the contradiction that they have to live with. And what we're doing is calling you out of that contradiction and come into this incredible peaceful place, just like Ivan has come after 60 years of ministry and understanding the redemption that Christ has paid for all. And it's just such a powerful thing. What a peaceful thing for me. I don't know of any other thing to describe.
Hold on. Take a second and describe what it means to you to hear a man in his 80s who has, I mean, he was a superintendent, ladies and gentlemen, of a Pentecostal denomination. Please describe to the people that are listening around the globe right now what this means to you.
I don't know that I can.
You can do it. I know you can do it.
I think I have to stick with Jeff's definition of just priceless. It really is. It's awe-inspiring to me. To have gone the route that I've gone over the last 30 years and to have gotten the lashing that I have in just about every form that you could think of. And then to hear a gentleman who has the integrity of heart to have listened to the scriptures and to be willing at that stage in life after 60 years of ministry to say, I was wrong. It's a powerful thing to say I was wrong. It is just so powerful. I embraced it many years ago, and I love to take every opportunity I can say I was wrong, because I found salvation in being wrong. And what Ivan did for me tonight, and also, as you have acknowledged, the fact that he put me in the list of very incredible people in this life.
Oh, you guys,
really appreciate that.
You got to get the book. Michael is in the list, and we cannot thank Ivan enough for acknowledging the work of Mike Williams and the Gospel Revolution in the book.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a significant list. I wouldn't even say it's a long list, given the fact that there's been about, I don't know, 2,000 years since the cross of notable
people. Well, he covers 6,000 years of history. So,
right, exactly.
He starts with God.
Well, he does. He does start with God. I mean, one could make the argument that it's more than 6,000 years. But Mike Williams is included with God. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, in case you're wondering, you're included in that same list too.
You are. Oh my God.
If you are included in the list, or as we noted earlier in the newsletter and the song that started this webcast, in the number of people that believe that Yeshua, that Jesus, that his sacrifice was powerful enough and redeemable enough to take care of your sin and the sin of Adam. Much more importantly, the sin of Adam. Then you're in that number too. I mean, they might as well include Randy Bailey, who just contributed $50. to the pledge drive. They might as well include Randy Bailey from British Columbia in that list.
Yeah. You know, I remember years ago, even before I was teaching the redemption of the world, I started teaching that there's only going to be one man in heaven. And you talk about grabbing somebody's attention. And but I could prove my point even in the evangelical realm. And I told him that there's only going to be one man in heaven, and it's all those who are in that one man who are going to be there. And that is true. There's only really one man in heaven and all those who are in him. And we just didn't realize that he had taken the entire planet, past, present, and future, into his own body and presented it to the Father in heaven with a sufficient sacrifice to bring us all into the presence of God.
You're such a stickler with this one thing.
You know, somebody ought to write a book.
Somebody ought to write a song called One Thing. I think they did. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Gospel Revolution webcast. This is the third and last webcast of this particular pledge drive here at the start of spring 2012. Okay, it is about 9:45 on the East Coast of the United States of America. If you're listening live, you're listening live, and we want you to call. So, all right, Ivan's off. I know he's impressive and blah, 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 blah. So, but you're impressive too. So Sean's waiting here. Sean O'Halloran in his Abercrombie T-shirt, looking very handsome, I must add. And he's waiting to take your call at 1-800-430. This is the first. This is a historic in and of itself. This is the first time I've mentioned the phone numbers with 1/2 hour left to go on the webcast. 1-800-436-3260. That is a toll-free line all over North America. 1-800-436-3260. What did I say? 1-800-436-3260. That's better. And if you're listening anywhere outside of North America and you're listening live, we would love to hear from you at 813-425-5773. 813-425-5773. Oh, look, see, I just had to mention the number, and the phone is ringing. That, ladies
and gentlemen. One ringy-ding.
One ringy-ding. Two ringy-ding. All right, this is the mid-70s Gospel Revolution trivia question. Who made that phrase popular?
We'll let the people answer it.
No, I can answer it.
No.
One ringy dingy, two ringy dings. From Laughing.
Let somebody call in and answer.
We'll see if they can. One ringy dingy.
You just want to give the answer.
No, I know the answer. That I don't know a lot of answers. Ladies and gentlemen, our goal for this start of spring pledge drive is $500. Yes, I know that sounds ridiculous. $500 in new or additional monthly giving. As we speak, we have hit $342, which is well over halfway there. Even I know that in my aforementioned mathematical deficiency. $342 has been raised in new or additional monthly giving. One-time gifts have been $4,110 for a total of $9,014. Now, I'm not going to go into detail about what you get for giving, but you can go to the gospelrevolution.com website and learn all about it right on the homepage. And you can actually give at gospelrevolution.com. But with your permission, Mr. Williams, I will rehearse the list of beautiful humans around the globe that have given thus far.
Well, let's do that, and we'll let you answer the question of...
Well, if our caller does not know it, if our next caller... And we still have a line available to you at 800-436-3260 or 813-425-5773 in my best announcer's voice. The beautiful human known as Robert Hines from McDonough, Georgia, is a giver on this pledge drive.
Oh, my goodness. That guy already does so much. Thank you, Robert.
As are Richard and Pat Salonen from Waukesha, Wisconsin, as is Clifford Grubbs from Victorville, California, as is Dale Van Sickle from Clyde, North Carolina, Suzanne Johnson from Fitchburg, Wisconsin. Donald Wynn from Wasilla, Alaska. Tom Tonsky. God, we love that boy.
Yes, we do.
The Postmaster General of the Gospel Revolution from Canton, Ohio. Paul Lavoie from Sturgeon County, Alberta. Danny Miniskanians, the aforementioned, from Studio City, California. James Forehand from Hickory Creek, Texas, not too far from you. Carrie and Rita Whiteman from Whitehall, Montana, very far from you. Vicki Davis from Stuart, Florida. Brad and Holly Wilson from Santon Valley, Arizona. Greg Savoy from Allen, Texas. Steve and Mary Keller from Cortez, Colorado. Peggy and Jesse Zuniga from Westerfield, Maryland. Leroy Bayrill from Marshfield, Wisconsin. Michael and Letitia Cole from Westminster, Colorado. Deidre Simpson from Kelowna, British Columbia. Tom and Linda Wilby from Fredericton, New Brunswick. God, we love you guys. Glenn Buchholz from Detroit Lakes, Minnesota. Howard Wersch from Dauphin, Manitoba. Todd and Angela Gray from LaPorte City, Iowa. Beverly Galuska from Allen Park, Michigan. The very sexy and lovely and talented Pep Washburn from Marshfield, Wisconsin. Jackie Barnard from Wachuca City, Arizona. Grant Miller from North Manchester, Indiana. The even more lovely and talented Billy Thompson from Wachuca City, Arizona. Ted and Pat Winsett from Decatur, Alabama. Arthur Wirch from Brandon, Manitoba. We had an anonymous gift, Michael, from Edmonton, Alberta. We love the anonymous. James
Even
Taylor.
I don't know who it is.
I know. James Taylor from, by the way, the James Taylor of the Gospel Revolution from Calhoun, Louisiana. Brad Dillard from Fredericton, Virginia. Leah Dyke from Kelowna, British Columbia. Another anonymous gift from Mount Horeb, Wisconsin. Carla Barton from the beautiful town of Brandon, Florida. Jerry and Susan Berman from Longwood, Florida. Thomas and Linda Villan from Madison, Wisconsin. Jean Davyduck from Castor, Alberta. Helen Gannett from Salberta, or from St. Alberta, Alberta. And the aforementioned, the very handsome and talented Randy Bailey from Kamloops, British Columbia. I've been to hell and back, but I've never been to Kamloops.
Well, everybody deserves a trip to Kamloops. I've been. I wanted to point out one of our contributors, Paul Lavoie. He and his brother are responsible for the cover of my new book, One. And I did not know that they had been listening to the webcast, he or his brother, they told me 2 or 3 years ago that they had been listening for about 13 years. And I don't remember ever hearing their name. When they heard that we had I had the book that was coming out, One, they sent the artwork and offered for it to be used free of charge. This artwork has gone around the world. It's very impressive. You're going to be very impressed with it. And we're also looking forward to helping people to understand and go to and find and purchase the Lavoie boys' work online when a book comes out. We'll definitely want to steer you that direction. It's really amazing. And thank you guys, all of you, for contributing. Some of you contribute in such a powerful way anyway, and then add on top of that your financial support, and we really, really do appreciate it. Thank you so much.
If you guys want to see the cover of the book of Michael Williams, just go to gospelrevolution.com. And they've got a whole, like, I don't know, business and stuff that's dedicated towards art and mosaics. And, well, I'll say it this way, and correct me if I'm wrong, most high and holy reverend. Could we have a better cover for the book one?
I broke down and cried. They sent it to me.
Whoa, hold on. You literally broke down, and you would not lie to the beautiful humans.
I wept openly.
Now this was not the initial idea for the cover. When they just sent you the piece of artwork.
Yes, you offered it to be used.
And you literally broke down and cried.
I was right here. I opened my computer right in the place that I am tonight, and I looked at it. I read the email that they were offering it to be used free of charge, and that the ministry had touched their lives for the last 13 years. I didn't even know who they were, and here they were making this incredible, not only a generous offer to use their artwork, but it looked as though it had been born right out of the book. And nothing could be better. The artwork was made for the book. The book was made for the artwork. And believe me, you're going to enjoy there. They have their own studio there in Canada. And Mosaic Murals, if anybody wants to go online and look them up, please do. My goodness, any traffic that goes their way, we'll certainly be glad for that to happen. Mosaic Murals. And just type in Lavoie with that. Or also just Adam, and with that, and you're sure to go directly to. You can actually watch the cover of the book being painted live at the United Nations building. This was painted live.
Well, you can't watch it live. You can watch the live production.
You can watch the live painting
right.
by video.
Right, exactly. That's like most of you
Mr.
beautiful.
Klein.
Well, I like, you know, I'm a journalist at heart, and I like to be accurate.
Call me a stickler. Jeez.
And it's like you guys that are listening on archive, you're not listening live. We're recording live. Sean is recording live, but you're not listening live unless you're listening live. All right, we are, dude, you know what? I've said this so many times, you guys, that we could easily fill 3 hours a day, as many talk shows do, at least Monday through Friday, 3 hours a day with the gospel. But we only have, well, normally we only have 75 minutes. In the pledge drive, we have 90 minutes. And it's not enough time, Mikey.
No, that's for sure. You know, I've got to tell you, after you explained about everybody, whether something's live or not, I remember Benny Hinn. I was watching TBN. This has been 20 years ago, and Benny Hinn prophesied live on TBN that dead people were going to be watching TBN and would be raised from the dead because they were watching TBN.
Really?
Yeah, so
Wait. Hold on for a second. I just asked you earlier, just a few minutes ago, to imitate Benny Hinn recommending you, and now you're saying that Benny Hinn said that dead people will be watching TVN.
We're going to be watching TVN, and they would be raised from the dead because they were watching TVN.
That's very unfortunate, Michael. That's very unfortunate. All right, well, I'm happy to report that Jeffro Robertson. By the way, if we believed in prayer, we would ask you to pray for Jeff Robertson because the man has been suffering big time.
Oh, he's gone through it for 3 weeks.
He's had a flu. He's had a virus. He's had a bacteria. But he was coherent to know that the person that said one ringy-dingy, two ringy-dingy was indeed Lily Tomlin.
Lily Tomlin.
The great yeah. Lily Tomlin. Yes, indeed. And then, of course, he put as a subtext, I'm so old. Yes, Jeffro, you are old, dude. But you know what? You're not as old as Michael. You're not as old as I. You're not as old as you're certainly not as old as Ivan Roberts. I mean, Ivan Roberts. Ivan Rogers. Good preaching, Roberts. All right, let's go to our next caller. We're going to go to the great state of Arizona, beautiful Santon Valley. Please welcome online. He's already given, you know him, you love him, we can't live without him. Please welcome online, Mr. Brad Wilson. Brad!
Yep.
Brad.
Hey, just a first-time caller. My wife and I are laying here in bed. I thought out here with our time deal that we were a lot later, but then I realized it's completely the opposite.
Wait. Brad, you're laying in your bed with your wife?
Yes, and that's as far as I'm going to go with that.
You suck, dude. You suck.
We are happy for you.
Yes, thank you. Hey, I got to tell you, I talked to Jeff. I ordered a lot of stuff also, a lot of 101s and Is Your Heart Kinder Than Your Doctrine. Been giving them out to different friends. Just want you to know, Mike, I mentioned to Jeff, I know he was sick when I called, and I mentioned to him on email just say to you, thank you. Brought up in Pentecostal Church. I'm 53. I was raised in Assembly of God Church. Got involved with the full gospel when I got into my teens and the Kenneth Copelands and.
Hold on, Brad.
Yeah, all of them.
All right.
Matter of fact, my.
Wait. Hold on for one sec, Brad. Brad, you there?
Yeah.
All right. Hold. Oh, you're Assembly of God boy, right?
Either
we a Christian. God, do we appreciate that comment?
Yeah.
You're not even a Christian, nor are we.
No, and if my friends heard me say that, they would absolutely disown me. I pastored a church even when I was like 24.
As did both men that you're speaking to right now. But I'm going to give you, we had a laughing trivia question that Jeff Robertson answered correctly, Lily Tomlin. I'm going to ask you an Assemblies of God trivia question right now. I know. Who was the man that produced the Assemblies of God radio show for the better part of a quarter century? Very famous minister that has now gone on to whatever heaven's like. What was the name of the man, the minister, the evangelist, the pastor of the Assemblies of God that used to, he was actually pretty good. He was on the edge. He was getting there before he died. What was his name?
I just started to pray to ask the Lord to help me with that, and I realized I couldn't do it, so I have absolutely no idea.
I'm hoping as a good Assemblies of God boy, you will recognize his name. His name was C.M. Ward.
Yeah, D.M. Ward. Yeah, I know who that is.
I was
you know, a young guy. I could probably answer some questions, but I got a lot of stuff I got to get off my chest here, man.
No, we're not going to
hold on, Glenn.
No, we're not going to let him talk. We will let you talk, Brad. You're laying next to your wife, you have nowhere to go.
No.
What were you going to say, Mikey, besides let him talk?
Let him talk.
All right, Brad, talk.
All right. Well, this is how it started. I just have got to let you know this. Mike, do you know the Mavises in Independence, Missouri?
What's the last name?
Mavis, M-A-V-I-S.
I don't think I do.
Okay, well, let me tell you. Mark Mavis is married to my ex-wife, and 4 years ago, my current wife, we went back to Missouri to visit some family. And she gave me some of your tapes to listen to as we were traveling back to Arizona from Kansas City. And I just remember, steeped in my upbringing, I remember hearing that, and I thought to myself, I hope so, but that I listened to them and then discarded them. And 6 months ago, my dear friend out here, his name is Mike Kimelotis, he called you on the phone probably maybe 6 months ago, something like that, and he had a talk with you, and he was searching, and you mentioned to him, you said, would it matter to you if I were a gay man? And I don't know if that rings a bell to you at all, if that's something maybe you've asked several, but it kind of set him back a little bit. Make a long story short, we began to discuss it, and he asked me what he wanted me to listen to that about all mankind being redeemed. And I just remember saying to him again, Mike, I hope so. And we started listening, and to make another long story short, I just can't get enough, and I can't wait to see you to give you a big hug. What you have meant to my friend Mike, who has struggled a lot lately, and what you have meant to myself and my wife is beyond what words could say. You've changed so much of my thinking. And I just wanted to tell you that, and that's kind of why I called, because, you know, you may hear that a lot. I don't know, but for a guy that was brought up in the church, as I have been, in the full gospel, businessmen, and going through everything.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Wait. Let's give it up for the full gospel. Okay. Let's give it up for the full gospel businessmen's association.
Okay.
Hey, Brad.
Yes.
I got to ask you, how far is Santon Valley from Wachuca City?
You know, I don't know. We're just southeast Phoenix, is what it is. It's just
all right, a suburb. All right. Well, eventually, when you get out of your bed next to your wife, just Google Wachuca City.
Okay.
Because I feel a Gospel Revolution conference coming on.
Yeah, right. And my friend Mike, matter of fact, he talked to you, Glenn. I'm almost positive. And was talking to you about that a few months ago, because he mentioned that and trying to figure out a way to do that. We have church every Sunday morning at Starbucks, and my friend Mike, we meet, we talk, we have some other, are getting more people involved, and I can't say enough. It's just the freedom, and I can't find where you're wrong, and that's what's...
Brad.
Yeah.
You know why you can't find where we're wrong or where Michael's wrong?
Yeah, I know why.
Why?
Well, because it's not. It's in the scriptures. It's the word. It just was never taught to me in context. And I remember when I was preaching as a younger man, and I finally quit because I never quit church or anything. I just quit because I thought, you know what, I really don't even know what I believe, and things weren't working, so you know, it's just all those things, but that peace that I've looked for for probably 40 years of my life is finally coming. I get up in the morning early, listen to it. I got the Hebrews, the Romans, the image of God.
You're quoting Mike Williams' teachings. Michael, why cannot Brad find anything wrong with this teaching?
Well, it's based in the scriptures, and it's consistent, and there's no ifs, ands, or buts, or maybes about it. And let me say thank you so much for your very kind words, and over these years, I've never gotten tired of someone telling me that what the gospel has done in their lives. And for you guys and for Mike, thank you so very much. And this is the way it goes. It's a CD. It's a tape. As you started out with tapes, it's somebody handing somebody something, you know, and saying, "Listen to this." And I have to say that the vast majority of people who now love the gospel and love Mike Williams' ministry and the Gospel Revolution started out literally detesting me and the Gospel Revolution.
My
tapes.
I did detest you at first. That's true. but not for very long. I did detest you.
Not for very long.
No, Brad, thank you so much, brother.
I got to say one last thing about the giving thing.
I was
a tither my whole life.
Right, right.
After hearing this, you know, it brought a whole lot of different light to that. But I will say this to all those listening: if you're receiving something as I have, boy, giving back is very important. And I almost feel like, Mike, that if I were to listen to your stuff and not pitch in, I just would feel really like a cheapskate. So I just want you to know that. My wife and I, we will continue and probably add to that. And we just want to thank you so much.
Brad.
Thank you both. Brad, love you a lot.
Brad, do you have the air conditioning on right now?
Yes, actually.
Good. That's all I wanted to know.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't stand. We moved from Florida. We moved up from Florida to here, and I really do miss Florida. The winters in out here are a little too chilly for me. But my wife and I lived there in West Palm. And
West Palm, I love the West Palm.
I know. Don't talk about it. Let's get off here. I don't want to get into that because I get all
right.
depressed.
All right, there you go.
All right, guys. Thank you so much,
Brad. Don't day. Hey, Brad.
Bye, Brad.
Brad.
Yeah.
Do not be a stranger to this webcast, please.
Yeah, I won't be, and I appreciate that, and I thank you guys so much. Like I said, I've archived. I didn't know about it, and then we've been listening to the archives. I just listen to stuff every day at least twice. So thanks a lot. It's meant that much to me.
Thanks, Brad.
Thank you.
And my friend Mike.
Hi, Mike.
Yes.
Hey, bye bye.
Give your wife a squeeze.
She just wants to say thank you, Mike.
Thank you, Mike. Really appreciate it.
What is your name? What is your name?
Oh, Holly.
Holly. Thanks, Holly.
Thank you, Holly.
Thank you very, very much.
You're very welcome, hon.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Brad.
Bye.
He wasn't lying to us, Michael.
Mm-hmm.
He was lying, but he wasn't lying. I love that. He has never called before, but he's been listening.
No, that's a brand new call.
Dude, he's been listening to the archives.
Yeah, and this is happening a lot more than we know. And that's two calls that I personally have gotten, one here at home, and then this one pertaining to that's four people that were listening that I never had a clue of.
Whatsoever. All right, wait. You mentioned the previous call from West Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
And ladies and gentlemen, the reason that call came into Michael's home was because I made the mistake many webcasts ago to give your home number out, Michael. I did. And she said she was listening to the webcast and she heard the number. She must have written it down or at least memorized it, and she called you.
Yeah, well, it's really no mistake. It's 281-955-1910.
What's that number again?
281-955-1910.
All right.
And love hearing from you guys. It's, you know, I'm just don't apologize for calling when you do.
No.
There's no need to apologize.
You guys, we would not offer the numbers if we did not want you to call. And that's my...
Yes.
As God is my witness, that is Michael's home phone number. I mean, that'll ring in. That's the number I call when I call you daily, or at least daily, maybe sometimes thrice, four times a day,
mm-hmm.
at that number, 281-955-9010. All right, so you guys that have been persevering through the start of this webcast, we started very poorly because we were going to have this song as the intro to the Gospel Revolution webcast.
Everybody's saying that the lights don't shine, but the lights shine down on me. Got a new friend, and my new friend's name is Jesus. Met him in the parking lot, he took me in his car. Got a new friend, and my new friend's name is Jesus. He rode around all afternoon, he sold me his guitar. I got a new friend, and my new friend's name is Jesus. Now people give me sideways looks when we set up on the strand. It's hard to suck with Jesus in your band. I wish I was with Jesus when I met you.
All right, that was supposed to be the intro. Who is that by? Sean? Craig Finn. Craig, CRAIGFINN. So that was supposed to be the intro of the webcast. Oh, I don't know, these 90 minutes ago. And then we were supposed to critique this song from the Yonder Mountain String Band.
About getting religion and giving it back.
See, we were going to comment on the words of the song because we're so apt to criticize negative gospel, and then we had to listen to this.
I don't need more guilt here in my life. How the hell is that supposed to help me find the light? And I don't need you preaching every day and night about the way I look, the way I walk, the way I dress, the way I talk, or something that you think you see like you ever looked at me. You say you got it figured out, you seem awful proud about it. Trusted folks who have to talk so loud. That ain't to say you never looked me in the eye, but looking isn't seeing, and you just can't spare the time. Besides, you're selling things that just don't feel like buying, like guilt and pain, fear and shame. Who to thank, who to blame? A set of rules bound to keep the living out of life. Who to love and who to hate? What's too soon and what's too late? Some test you have to pass before you feel the love of God.
That might be a little too much bluegrass music for people to be able to deal with.
You can't keep your fear of afterlife. How the hell is that supposed to help me find the light? And I don't need you preaching every day and night about the things I do and the things I don't. What I will and what I won't. There's fire in your eyes, sir, and it chills me to the bone. You say you got it figured out, and you seem so damn proud about it. Never really trusted folks who have to talk so loud. Thanks a lot, boy, but I'll be moving on. Yours is a hateful sermon, and it takes too goddamn long. See, life is short, and I'm gonna spend mine searching for the light. I am searching for the light. Yes, I'm searching for the light. I am searching.
I don't know a better way to end this third and final webcast of the Start of Spring Pledge Drive of 2012, Michael, than a perfect example, because we give so many examples on this show about anti-gospel messages, but here is this jam band that travels around the country that's playing this song. The gospel seems to be getting through.
Got a lot of warm hearts for the gospel out there, and we really appreciate everybody's help. And we definitely are moving forward. My goodness, got a call yesterday asking us to publish their book that will be coming out. They're in the process of completing it. We already have people lining up to use the publishing services of Geneva Publishing, of Mike Williams Ministry. What an amazing thing. I don't even have my own out yet, and we've already got people asking to publish their books. So this is worthy. My goodness, the school, just the daily stuff, just the stuff you heard tonight, this is what this is doing. It is freeing people in such a dynamic way, and we're very grateful for every bit of participation and all of the encouraging words that I heard tonight. Oh, my gosh. How could anybody be more encouraged? Thank you, Glenn, so much for what you do. And everybody that does anything, whether and right down to the last penny of contributions, you are appreciated and loved, and we thank you.
You guys, when Michael says down to the last penny, we're asking for a dollar from you. Why do you have no problem, Michael, asking for a dollar from beautiful humans?
Well, you know, there's a great deal of this. Number one, we need finances, but it is such a beneficial thing to the heart to express. Our last caller was expressing that, and we don't want anyone to feel ashamed for not giving. But we just can't recommend giving, no matter which direction it is, what it's to. It is an amazing thing to pass on what you have for the benefit of somebody else. And that's why we do this. We're passing on what we have for the benefit of someone else. And it does a brain good. It's just a healthy thing to do, to give and contribute to something that you believe in and that you know is touching people's lives. And every dollar is respected because it is used. Believe me, every dollar, every penny is used, and we do appreciate it.
And you guys that follow thegospelrevolution.com, and if you don't, I do not know why you do not, just go to gospelrevolution.com, and you will learn of all the benefits of participating in this start of Spring Pledge Drive 2012. But one of them is that you are going to be supporting the brand new Gospel Revolution School of the Scriptures in Kenya. And today, Michael, we got a email message from the president of the School of the Scriptures of the Gospel Revolution in Kenya, Mr. Moses Gachau Nagata. And he said, "Jambo, Mike and Glenn. The School of the Scriptures is waxing strong here in Kenya. Members are very glad to hear the big news about the Geneva Press. Sir Jeff has sent me some of Mike's famous teachings, and we appreciate it so much." So you guys, you need to understand that this gospel, the redemption of all, the successful completion of the cross by Christ, we're in 185 countries now, according to Jeffro Robertson. And if we know anything about Jeff Robertson, is that he is honest. And he is the administrator of the Gospel Revolution. And he also analytics, that's the word I'm looking for. And we're in a buck 85, Mikey. Mm-hmm. And there's only about 230 countries in the world, so, I mean, we're almost there.
Not bad.
And once we get to 230, we know the Lord will return, because the gospel has to be preached into all the... No, that's not what that was about, was it?
No, it wasn't.
I know. All right, you guys, just go to gospelrevolution.com. It's right on the homepage. All the information about the start of Spring Pledge Drive 2012. And we're up against the clock. Mikey, this sucks.
Well, we got to do it anyway. That's what we're grateful for.
Right. As you guys are, we are within a perimeter. And just go back to gospelrevolution.com. And click on the Good News Letters Archives and learn all about perimeters, and you'll know what we're talking about. Please contribute. We've got until a week from 8:45 next Wednesday night. You guys that are listening on the archive, you're well within the perimeter of this Spring Pledge Drive. So contribute. We're trying to get to $500. We're well over halfway there. Mikey,
just 160 left on the monthly contribution.
A buck 60, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, 160 for monthly contributions, and we could pass that tonight very easily. So, if it's in your heart, then we just encourage you, follow your heart.
One person could write a check, and we'd be done.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so thanks for all the callers tonight to Ivan Rogers, the author of Dropping Hell and Embracing Grace, and the rest of our callers, and Ivan Rogers, and Sean O'Halloran, and Jeff Robertson. And by the way, thank you, Michael.
Yes, you're very welcome.
And until next time, this is Glenn Klein online. We'll talk to you next week, hopefully with a successful report about the Starter Spring Pledge Drive 2012 right here on the Gospel Revolution Radio Network. This is Glenn Klein online saying, Shalom, everybody!